We gather in today in Matthew 5, and we are continuing with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as we were hearing these words being preached this morning out of Matthew's gospel, I don't know about you, but parts of them kind of gave me, I don't know, that feeling inside that I can't think of the word right now. Took me aback a little bit, made me cringe a little bit. And I wonder how I would have felt on that hillside in Galilee 2,000 years ago, hearing Jesus stand and preach these words. Now, over the past couple weeks, we have been right here in Matthew. We haven't traveled very far. We have been sitting and listening to Jesus' sermon. And we began with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then last week, we moved in to Jesus telling his disciples, guys, you are salt and you are light. But he says to them, you must be as righteous as the Pharisees. And then we come into our text this morning where Jesus says, you have heard it said this, but I say to you this. Over the past few weeks, not only have we been in the Sermon on the Mount, we have also been in the midst of a sermon series where we've kind of been breaking this sermon apart and asking ourselves, well, what does this mean about who we are? What does this mean about our fundamental identity as Christians? And this morning, if you notice, each and every single one of these commandments that Jesus offers to those folks on the hillside in Galilee and those he offers to us, it's all about us and how we interact with other people. Did you notice that? The first, he talks about anger. He says, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will also be liable to judgment. How many of you in this room have ever been angry with someone? How many of you have been angry with someone in the past year, the past month, the past week, the past 5 minutes? Okay, maybe not the past 5 minutes, but it's really, really, really easy to be angry with someone, right? Especially with those that we love. I want you to think about the last person you had an argument with. Was it some random person in the grocery store that you didn't know? Or was it your spouse? Or a family member? Or your child? Probably someone you're close to, right? Then Jesus talks about adultery, which in that situation, fundamentally, we're talking about the closest relationship you can possibly have, right? That with your spouse. The person that you have committed your life to. The person that you stood before God and all of your friends and said, yes, God, yes, friends, I'm going to love this person for the rest of my life. And this act causes division in that relationship, right? So that's the next thing Jesus talks about. And then divorce, which is the separation of that commitment. And then he talks about oaths, which is agreements we have with one another and with God. And then he moves on into our enemies and those who harm us. But these first few commandments are all about those people in which we are in loving and committed relationships with, both in our households and also in our communities. And for me, what this tells me is that Jesus cares a whole lot about relationships. Jesus cares a whole lot with how we interact with other people. Jesus takes this very seriously. seriously. Because part of our identity, we were not created to be alone, right? If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, which is Genesis, right? It even says when you open it up, in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created man. He created Adam. He says, I don't want Adam to be alone. I didn't create Adam to be isolated. I didn't create Adam to be alone in this world with just the rest of creation. I want Adam to have a partner. I want Adam to be in relationship. I want Adam to feel what it's like to know another and to see God in another person. So we were created for relationships. So when we think about our identity isn't just our relationship with God. Our identity doesn't just rest in what God calls us to do, but our identity rests in how we relate to one another. In pastoral ministry, we go to all sorts of trainings all of the time. Do you ever get emails where I say, hey, lay people, there's trainings available? They really like to train us in ministry for things, equip us to go out into the world and to share the light and love of Jesus Christ. Although sometimes I'm curious about these trainings and how much they help us do that, but that's a side note. But there was this one training I went to, and they really like, when we're doing these trainings, for us to get to know ourselves better, okay? So there's all sorts of resources out there about how you can get to know yourself. So how many of you have ever taken like a spiritual gifts inventory before? Some of you? Not a lot? Okay. Man, we need to do that around here then. But there's also things called like strength finders, which helps you get to know your strengths and your weaknesses. But my favorite that we have done is called the Enneagram. Have you ever heard of the Enneagram? Anyone? Connie has. When did you take the Enneagram, or have you? Oh, cool. Huh. So Connie has heard of it, but not done it. Okay. Now, what first drew me to the Enneagram is, of course, it's a chart, right? It's an Enneagram. So there's some sort of, I'm a math person, right? So I like charts. But basically, the Enneagram gives you 9 different personality types. So it helps you to better understand who you are and why you act a certain way, okay? Because based on who we are, that dictates in so many ways our responses. Now, when I finally got done with this Enneagram assessment and I looked over all of the 9 personality types, I realized I am a 6 on the Enneagram. And so those who know Enneagram, we come up to each other and we say, hey, what number are you? And I'm like, I'm a 6. Cool, right? That means nothing, right, if you don't know anything about the Enneagram. Okay. So this personality type is called the loyalist. Someone who cares a whole lot about the relationships that they're in. And so there's some key categories. The first is devotion. They're committed to what they value, expressing duty and care of people, responsibility, and causes. So when I latch onto something, I really latch onto it. But then they also have a commitment and respect for rules and authority. I do not do anything, almost, without asking someone permission, because I care about rules and authority. Anyone else like rules? Aaron is shaking his head, no, which is the cause of most of our fights, because we'll be driving down the interstate and he thinks 60 miles an hour means 90, right? And I believe that 60 miles an hour means 50, okay? So we have a whole large degree of separation in our relationship, which causes a lot of anger, okay? But I like rules. I think rules have purpose and have meaning. And I think Jesus and I would have butted heads after reading this Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus says, hey guys, you have heard these rules your whole lives. You have heard these commandments, and they say this. And you believe they mean exactly what has been written and told for you for years and years and years. And then Jesus goes, but I say to you this. I say to you something different. Now, Jesus doesn't just throw out the rules altogether, right? He doesn't just say, these don't matter. He doesn't say, you just suddenly don't have to drive the speed limit. He doesn't say, you can suddenly just murder people, right? That's cool. But Jesus says, it's not just about these rules that are so black and white. There's grace and love in the midst of these. By making things so rigid, Jesus kind of begs this question, are you making room for Jesus? And I wonder if we do that in our relationships. If we make things rigid and don't leave room for God. I know this is something I frequently do as a mother because, again, I like rules. Bath starts at 8 o'clock, right, in our house, except it never does. And this always causes a source of anger and anxiety in me. But I wonder, does my response then take away the love and grace of Jesus Christ? And the answer is yes. Most definitely yes. And this is what Jesus points to in these verses. First, he says, you have heard it said, you shall not murder. Now, Jesus doesn't say, scrap that, go out and murder, right? He says, no, you shouldn't do that. But it's more than just this one action. It also means if you're angry, that can cause harm. He doesn't just say, don't go out and sleep with whoever you want, even if you're married. Yeah, please don't do that. It's not okay. But he says, also don't lust after others. And Jesus is so extreme about this. Jesus says, it's better if you gouge out your eyes than be tempted to lust after another. Jesus gets really, really extreme about how we treat those in which we are called to love and be committed to. One of the things that I feel like I hear often is somehow we measure if an action is okay or not by if it's illegal or not, by if it's in a rule book or not. And Jesus kind of turns that thought on his head, on its head, and says, I don't really care if the rules tell you you can't do this or not. I'm telling you, I want you to think about things differently. I want you to think about things in terms of love and relationships. And so, as we turn to these texts, if you remember, one of the things that we read last week, right before we get to this part, Jesus is talking about the law, okay? So these very commandments, right? You know the Ten Commandments, right? You shall not murder. That's where Jesus starts, right? You shall not commit adultery. He moves there. So he takes these ones that we understand, and then he kind of turns them on their head a little bit. But right before Jesus starts talking about this, he has this section that, if you have titles in your Bible, is called the Law and the Prophets. And right here, this is what he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, last week we talked about how that's almost impossible, right? It is impossible to follow all of these rules because we are not perfect. But what is possible is to start to try to love like Jesus a little bit more. Quickly, Jesus turns from those that we are called to be in relationship already to those that we often cast out and demonize. And so in this next section, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road a little bit. It's a lot easier to follow commandments with those that we love than it is with those that we hate. And so Jesus reminds those he's preaching to, says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor, but it's all right to hate your enemy." This is one of those places Jesus says, no, no, no. We're going to break that rule. It is not okay for you to hate your enemy. He says, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And then he also talks about retaliating and getting back at those who hurt you. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's how we should punish one another. If someone harms you, harm them back. If someone kills someone, kill them. Someone takes out someone's eye, take out their eye. But Jesus says, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek. If someone sues you and asks for their coat, give them your cloak also. I was a musical person in high school, although I'm a terrible singer. They always gave me those singing parts where it was like talk singing, okay? But I love musicals, and one of my favorites is Les Mis. Anyone else like Les Mis? Okay. At the beginning of Les Mis, we get the story of Jean Valjean, right? And he has just been released from prison, and he goes and he finds some refuge, right, with this bishop in this church. And the bishop shows him grace and hospitality. And who remembers what Jean Valjean does? He steals the stuff, right? So this is very much like us as the church, right? We welcome people in. We bring people in. We offer them grace and love. And then, you know, people are people. And they steal. And they hurt. And they cause pain. And they don't live up to the expectations that we call them to. And what is our typical response when that happens? We're going to cross them off our we're going to help you list, right? This person's not welcome back in here. They can't take any more of our silver. But in Les Mis, that's not the bishop's response, right? He shows him grace. And he says, here, have more. Fundamentally, this is the gospel. Jesus says it right here, when someone hurts you, when someone steals from you, give them more. The love and the grace of Jesus Christ does not have a checklist or a rubric. It goes beyond measure. It is unlimited in its abundance. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, part of your call is to be in loving relationship with others. For those people that you are already in relationship with, for those people that you're sitting next to this morning, for those people that you're going to go home with, keep loving them and don't abuse them, even when it's really easy to do. And for those you don't like very much, for those who cause you pain and harm and hurt, for those that the world says, shut them out, do Jesus says, welcome them in. Go the extra mile. Love them abundantly. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks this day for this sermon that you keep preaching to us over and over and over again. God, sometimes the words of the gospel make us cringe. They scare us. And they make us think, how is this even possible? But God, we know with you all things are possible. God, you call us to a righteousness that is above a law book. God, you call us to a righteousness that is like the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, allow us to be more like Jesus today. Allow us to love our friends and our neighbors. And let us show love and compassion to our enemies. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.